Chapter 8, John chapter 8. Oh my, that's a wonderful song. Wonderful song. Tonight we'll be looking at Christ is our freedom. Christ is our freedom. Now everyone in this world comes into this world, is born into this world, a prisoner. Prisoner. A prisoner to sin. Held captive by sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. John chapter 8, the Lord has been talking to some Pharisees here. And he's been telling them in the earlier part of the chapter that he is the light of the world. And they don't like what they're hearing. Not at all. Most religious folks don't like to hear the gospel. And we see all through the scriptures that when Christ talked to religious people, the Pharisees and scribes, and they hated him. He told them the truth. They didn't want to hear the truth. But he told them. He told them. Let's look at John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now who commits sin? Everyone. Man's conceived in iniquity, born dead in trespasses and sins. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall be free indeed. So tonight I'd like us to look at how Christ is our freedom. He's our freedom, beloved. Now we're going to celebrate a holiday about freedom coming up. About the freedom from our country. The freedom against tyranny. Let me tell you, sin is a tyrant. It's a tyrant. It's a taskmaster. My. It's a tyrant. But the believer has been freed from the tyranny of sin. Not the presence, but one day we will. But the tyranny, the power, the dominion has been destroyed for the believer. We're still sinners, but oh, it doesn't have the grip on us it once had. It once ruled us and reigned us. So tonight I'd like us to look at how Christ is our freedom and how we who believe on Christ are free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You're free indeed. Now left to ourselves and left in our sins, we are bound up. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 5. Left to ourselves and left in our sins, we are bound up, beloved. Bound up. Bound up in chains. A slave to sin. Without hope in this world, whether we feel it or not. Proverbs chapter 5. And then put your finger in Psalm 85. Proverbs chapter 5. And a few pages further back, Psalm 85. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. "For the ways of man are before God, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." They're like cords wrapped around you. And you're holding. He shall die without instruction. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. So natural man here we see is bound up by their own sin. Held captive by the cords of sin. And think of this. They think themselves free. They think themselves free. But all along they're slaves to sin. But rejoice, beloved of God. Rejoice. Rejoice, you who are redeemed. We have been set free from the cords of sin. Having all our iniquity forgiven. All our sins covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By His sacrifice. Who is our propitiation before God. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. This is a psalm for the sons of Korah. We'll look at verses 1 to 7. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered how much of their sin? How much of our sin is covered? All their sin. Isn't that wonderful? Look at this. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Why? Because Christ has appeased it all in the place of his people. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. God is no longer angry with his people over our sin. Turn us, O God of our salvation. It's God who must turn us, isn't it? We will never turn ourselves to God. He must turn us. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou now revive us, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. And he has done that for his people in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So let's go back to our text in John chapter 8. And may we rejoice tonight over the freedom the believer has in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 8:31, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now let us note, the Lord is speaking to believers here. As the scripture proclaims, he spoke to those Jews which believed on him. And he proclaims that if a man continues through life, believing Christ, loving Christ, devoted to Christ, then he gives evidence that he's one of his disciples. God's people don't quit. We keep hanging on. Because he keeps us. Remember Jude? He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who presents us faultless. The word indeed here in our text means this. Truly, really, certainly, of a truth. Truly, actually, really, surely, truly. He's speaking of real, genuine, true saving faith, not just a religious profession, not just someone who bowed their head and repeated a prayer, said, okay, now I'm good, I punched my card now. You know how many people I've ran into that think that? And that's a direct result of decisional regeneration. My goodness. So he's speaking a real genuine faith here. True faith will keep looking to Christ. True faith will keep looking to Christ. And this is a manifestation or proof of salvation. The one who truly loves Christ will not depart from him, will not depart from his gospel. And anyone who does depart, they're never truly saved. Never truly saved. Look at John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is not mere head knowledge. Oh, I know who Jesus is. Yeah, he is a historical figure that lived. This is not that. Not at all. This is real, genuine truth. It's not a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. It's real to the believer. He set me free. And knowing the truth of the gospel, I've talked to some of you. I know how free you feel. Oh my. We feel free. Because the truth, we know the truth. And who's taught us the truth? The Holy Spirit teaches us, doesn't he? He guides us. He illuminates the scriptures. And he always points us to Christ. Always. This is to know the truth of the gospel. To know the true gospel from the false gospel. To have experienced God's glorious grace in our lives. And it's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. God's people will know. They will know that Christ is the way. They will know that Christ is the truth. And they will know that Christ is the life because they're taught. They're taught by the Holy Spirit. And they will cling to Christ. They will cling to Him. He's the word of truth. And believers have been set free from the penalty of the sin. Penalty of sin. They've been set free from the curse of the law. They've been set free from the power of darkness. They've been set free from the practice of sin. And finally, one day, we will be set free from the presence of sin. And what a glorious day that will be for the believer. To see our Savior, for our faith to become sight. And to see our Savior face to face. John 8:33 says, "Then they answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?'" They didn't know what bondage they were in. They didn't know what bondage they were in. And they didn't believe they were in bondage. And such is the state of the sinner when they're unregenerate, right? They don't know. They don't know. Now there's four things. There's four things which are particularly hateful to the natural man because they're so humbling. And they're so humbling to the unregenerate. First, this is the first thing that is hateful to the natural man. They are absolutely destitute of righteousness. Destitute of goodness. And they are unclean in God's sight. Isaiah 64:6, Scripture proclaims this. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Natural man hates to hear that. They hate to hear that they have no goodness, that everything is tainted by sin. I was talking to my daughter on the phone today, and the Lord opened the door for me to be able to speak to her. But one of the things she was saying was, "Well, everybody's good." And I said, no, honey, no. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, every one of us. Whether you believe it or not, sweetie. No goodness. Romans 7:18 says this, "For I know that in me," and this is Paul writing this, "that," and this is a saved man, "for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Is it? I ask you who believe. Because I know it's so with me. Do you not have a a war constantly going on between your spirit and your flesh? My goodness. Rejoice, because that's what happens to believers. It's a civil war. It's a civil war within us. And Romans 7 is the believer's autobiography. If you are going through tough times, just go there and see Brother Paul. He went through the same things we went through. But his victory was in Christ Jesus the Lord. And in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. You see, after he's telling us what he went through and what he goes through, and we can see ourselves in the mirror. And then we look at Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. It just fills the heart with joy. My goodness. Isaiah 64:6 says that all are unclean before the holy God of the universe. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. The second thing that natural man hates is that when you tell them they're destitute of wisdom. This destroys man's pride. And the Jews did that here in 8:33. By their own words, they testified against themselves, right? And John 3:11 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and we testify what we have seen, and ye shall receive not our witness." Those are the words of our Lord. Third thing that natural man hates to hear is that they're destitute of strength and power. They have no power to save themselves. Isaiah 40:29, Scripture declares this, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." And God's people are bought low and made to realize we have no strength. No hope outside of Christ. And the fourth thing that natural man hates to hear is that they are destitute of freedom. That they're destitute of freedom. They're not free. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. "Now works-based preachers are those who proclaim freedom all the time to the people that listen to them. And meanwhile, beloved, you know what they do? They yoke people with burdens that they cannot even carry themselves. They yoke people with burdens that they can't even carry themselves. Isaiah 61 says, 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim what? Liberty to the captives." Oh, beloved, we're free in Christ. Liberty to the captives. We were once bound in trespasses and sins, but He's freed us. He's freed His people. And He does. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. When the Lord showed grace to you, I ask you, were you not set free? Were you not set free from the prison house of sin? 2 Peter 2:19 says this. Turn up there if you would. 2 Peter 2:19. Look at this. And this is fitting for works-based preachers. 2 Peter 2:19. "Well, they promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he bought in bondage." So these four points, they abase the pride of man. They abase the pride of man. Oh, but for the believer, they abase us, they do. But they also exalt the sovereignty of God. Doesn't those four points, because we know we have no strength, we have no goodness. We can't save ourselves. But oh, what a Savior we have. Look at verse 34 of our text now, John 8, 34. The Lord proclaims here, those who commit sin are the servants of sin. And as you read this, we think of this, you who are redeemed, be thankful that all your sins are forgiven. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. How different God's thoughts are from ours. The man of the world, imagines that to become a Christian means this. Brother Tim and I have talked about this before. The world thinks that to become a Christian, I have to give up all this stuff. I'm so free right now. How many times have you heard people say that? Well, if I became a Christian, I'd have to give up all this stuff. The unsaved man imagines that he's free and imagines that to become a Christian, and they're thinking they make themselves that, which they don't. If you're a believer, every one of us will say, we didn't make ourselves a believer. God did that work. But they think, the world has this warped view that to become a Christian means that we forego our freedom. He supposes that the believer be chained with a lot of restrictions which destroy his liberty. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And what evidence that kind of thinking reveals to us that Satan has blinded them. He's blinded them, beloved. Now, a saved man will give up sin. We still sin, but there's sins that there's people we don't want to be with anymore. There's places we don't want to go to anymore. I'm not saying that, but what freedom the believer has. What freedom the believer has in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. So the very opposite of what the natural man thinks is really the case. Because the natural man is in the bond of iniquity. He's bound up, or she's bound up by their sins. Look at Acts 28, 22, and 23. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. That's natural man's state. In the bond of iniquity. So the condition of natural man is far worse than he imagines. It's far worse than he imagines. Far worse than the average so-called preacher who gets up on Sunday and teaches. The condition of natural man is far worse than what they presume. We are a fallen creatures, totally depraved, with no soundness in us, in our natural state, from the sole of our foot to the top of our head. In bondage to sin, and chained up. You know, people talk about free will. You hear that all the time, don't you? Do you know that your will is bound to your nature? Martin Luther wrote an awesome book called The Bondage of the Will. Wonder, I would, if you can get a hold of it, I'd suggest you read. It's amazing. The will is in bondage to the nature. Therefore, the will in natural man is controlled by a dead nature. But the will in a believer is controlled by the new nature. That's why we fight and struggle with sin. We never used to, did we? Because we had a dead nature before. But we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And now, sin in our life is a struggle. Struggle. And we see ourselves as sinners to the core, don't we? Spurgeon said, even my best prayers are tainted with sin. My. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Let's continue. John 8, 35 and 36. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Oh, here we go. Only in Christ can we find true freedom. Freedom from all our sins. Christ is the way of freedom, beloved. He is our freedom. He is our freedom. Now again, freedom supposes bondage, doesn't it? It supposes bondage. And we've seen in our study tonight so far that man in their natural state is in complete bondage. When we're born into this world, we're servants of sin. We have no ability to save ourselves because we are held captive. Remember, we saw the cords of sin, right? Held captive by the very thing. We are held captive by the very thing that will condemn us before God, left to ourselves. And we have no strength to free ourselves and no ability to free ourselves. But freedom comes in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who sets his people free. Free. Those in Christ Jesus are free, beloved. And we are made free by the Son. Those who could never free themselves are set free by the Son of God. Living in our place and dying in our place. He paid the debt that we owed. And God is satisfied. And the believer in Christ rests and trusts in Christ, who is our sanctifier. We're sanctified in Christ. We're born again. And this breaks the power of indwelling sin, so that the believer can go through this world knowing that we are still sinners, but yet saved. Saved, redeemed, forgiven, pardoned, set free in Christ. And now we hate sin when once we loved it. And think of this, death no longer has any sting. We're all going to pass through that gate. But for the believer, death has no sting. Because all our sins and iniquities are forgiven in Christ. Washed in His precious blood. And the believer is free indeed. And this is real freedom. To be pardoned in Christ is real freedom. Just ask someone who's been set free. If you don't know Christ, ask one of His people who've been set free. Oh, we'll tell you. I am free indeed. I was telling my daughter this today. I'm free. Free from the guilt of all my sins. Free from all my sins, past, present, and future. Think of this. Think of, I am pardoned of all my sins from conception to my death. Because either Christ paid for all my sins or He didn't pay for any. From conception to death. Oh my. Is it any wonder why death has no more sting for the believer? Free from the power and dominion of sin. We're still plagued by it, but it doesn't have the dominion. It doesn't reign in us like it once did. And also, we're free from the slavish fear of sin, which causes bondage. When you consider that even the guilt of our sins are forgiven, that'll set you free. My. Freedom. Men talk of freedom, but they don't really know what it is. But the believer does. We know what freedom is. Now let us ponder that this is a costly freedom. This freedom is costly. It cost our Savior dearly. It cost Him that obtained it for us, the shedding of His own precious blood. Having obtained eternal redemption for us, how? By His death upon Calvary's cross as our substitute. What was the price of our ransom? His own precious blood. Nothing else could ransom us. Nothing else could satisfy God's demands. So He sends His Son to die the propitiation for our sins. To be a ransom for our souls. To give liberty to the captives. To save His people from their sins and to set them free. 1 Corinthians 6:20, Scripture says this, "For ye are bought with a price." Remember that. We're set free, but we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter says this, that you're purchased with a price, beloved. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, beloved, who by Him do believe. Our faith is in Christ. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Not in ourselves. In God. By the strength of His hand, He rescued us. By the strength of His hand, He rescued us. What are some things that God's people are free from as a result of this wonderful freedom? Again, we're free from the guilt of sin. We're free from the dominion or power of sin. We're free from the power of the law. We're free from the unscriptural commands of man in their attempts to merit salvation. And we are free from the sting of death in the grave. And then the believer has access to the throne of grace. Access to the throne of grace. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have liberty to come to the Father. We have liberty to approach the Father. and to petition our Father in prayer, and to thank Him for His mercy and His grace bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus our Lord. In our natural state, we could never approach Him. But covered and clothed in Christ's perfect righteousness, we have the liberty to approach our great God and King. My. Do you imagine, think of a king, and you have the privilege of not only being in His presence, but to approach His throne and bow down before Him and petition Him. This is the King of the universe. Oh my. And the only reason we have that access is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ in the freedom which He has given us. And then we have no condemnation. I mentioned that earlier. No judgment, that means. When it says there is therefore now no condemnation in the Greek, that's no judgment. I was telling my daughter again, we were talking about how at the end everyone will be facing God. And she had heard that somebody said, oh, there'll be asked three questions. What did you do good? What did you do? You know, all this stuff about man. I said, that's not even in the Scriptures, sweetie. It's just a lie somebody's feeding you. That's what that is. I said, and I used to believe way back when I was a dispensationalist that God would have this TV screen and that He would play all the things I did wrong and I would receive a reward or lose a reward. That Christ is my reward. Christ is my reward, beloved. He's my reward. But I will stand one day, and you who believe will too, in the presence of the great King, clothed in the perfect spotless righteousness of Christ. And there be no judgment for us, beloved. We'll see others be judged. There be no judgment for us at all. All because of what Christ has done for us. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment for those in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's wonderful. It makes you want to shout. It's wonderful. My. Those in Christ, do you know we're the Lord's freemen? We're the Lord's freemen, beloved. I'm reminded of those gladiators who had, I guess, if they could win their freedom by fighting. We didn't have to fight for our freedom. He did it all. He did it all. We're His freemen. Oh, it thrills our soul. And we're the reason we're the Lord's freemen is because He has made us free. The Son hath made us free. And we're blessed and happy in Christ, aren't we? Those that are not in Christ are the devil's bondmen, rowing in his galley, one commentator said, tugging at his oar, doing his drudgery in chains and bondage. But beloved, we're free. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Now, works-based preachers will try to entangle you, or people who are works-based religion, if you have friends who are in that, they will try to entangle you into all kinds of things. But let us always remember this scripture here, Galatians 5:1. We are the Lord's freemen. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. If the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. One commentator said, don't allow anyone to entangle you again with a system of works and deeds in order to obtain God's favor. We are complete in Christ. Complete in Him. Christ the Son, as our representative in the flesh, has fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law on our behalf and gives us a perfect holiness in God's sight. He honored the law and satisfied justice for us before the Father in order that God may be just and the justifier of those who believe. So tonight we've looked at how natural man is in bondage to their sins. Their will is in bondage, in spiritual slavery and captivity. And before a man knows Christ, he's in bondage. Men have no righteousness nor goodness. Men have no wisdom and no strength, no hope. They're under the curse of the law, prisoners therefore in bondage. And only by the grace of God and the truth of Christ can they be delivered. Because if Christ makes you free, you are free indeed. Free indeed. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for this wonderful scripture. We know, we who believe, know we were once dead in trespasses and sins, but now we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And oh, we're free in thee. Free in you, Lord Jesus. And we know that we could never have freed ourselves. We could never have opened the prison door. Oh my. But Lord, you have come and set your people free. And in you we are free indeed. May we leave here glorifying your name and glorifying the work which you've done for us in our place. And may we glorify that right now you are our advocate in heaven with the Father. And one day, it won't be long. It's just a vapor of our lives. We will be with thee in your presence, rejoicing forevermore. Praise your mighty name. In your name we pray. Amen.